नाथे वासुदेवाय श्रीबादराय निरुवाच एवं व्याविष्यतो बुद्ध्या समाधाय मनोहृदि जजाप परमं चाप्यं प्रज्ञान्मन्यद्युनिक्षितम्। Shri Shukadev Goswami continued. Thereafter, the king of the elephants, Gajendra, fixed his mind in his heart with perfect intelligence and chanted a mantra which he had learned in his previous birth as Indrajumna and which he remembered by the grace of Krishna. Purport. By His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Such remembrance is described in the Bhagavad Gita. Tatratam buddhisam yogam labate purva dehikam yatate chatato bhuya samsidho kurunandana Purva bhyasena tena eva hriyate yavasho pisaha. In these verses, it is assured that even if a person engaged in devotional service falls down, he is not degraded, but is placed in a position in which he will, in due course of time, remember the Supreme Personality of Godhead. As explained later, Gajendra was formerly King Indrajumna, and somehow or other in his next life he became the King of the Elephants. Now Gajendra was in danger. And although he was in a body other than that of a human being, he remembered the stotra he had chanted in his previous life. Yatate cha tato bhuya samsido kurunandana. To enable one to achieve perfection, Krishna gives one the chance to remember him again. This is proved here. For although the king of the elephants, Gajendra, was put in danger, this was a chance for him to remember his previous devotional activities so that he could immediately be rescued by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It is imperative, therefore, that all devotees in Krishna consciousness practice chanting some mantra. Certainly one should chant the Hare Krishna mantra, which is the Maha Mantra, or Great Mantra. And also one should practice chanting Chintamani Prakarasat Masu, or the Narasingha Stotra, Itho Narasingho Paratho Narasingho, Yatho Yatho Yamitato Narasingha. Every devotee should practice in order to chant some mantra perfectly, so that even though he may be imperfect in spiritual consciousness in this life, in his next life, he will not forget Krishna consciousness, even if he becomes an animal. Of course, a devotee should try to perfect his Krishna consciousness in this life, for simply by understanding Krishna and his instructions, after giving up this body, one can return home back to Godhead. Even if there is some fall down, practice of Krishna consciousness never goes in vain. For example, Ajamil, in his boyhood, practiced chanting the name of Narayan under the direction of his father. But later in his youth, he fell down to become a drunkard, woman hunter, rogue, and thief. Nonetheless, because of chanting the name of Narayan for the purpose of calling his son, whom he had named Narayan, he became advanced, even though he was involved in sinful activities. Therefore, we should not forget the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra under any circumstances. It will help us in the greatest danger, as we find in the life of Gajendra. Sri Shukadev Goswami continued, "Thereafter the king of the elephants, Gajendra, fixed his mind and his heart with perfect intelligence and chanted a mantra in which he had learned in his previous birth as Indrajumna, and which he remembered by the grace of Krishna." This purport, our beloved Srila Prabhupada is casting light on the quality of Krishna's gratitude. Gratitude is a primary virtue for any real spiritual progress. Even if the guru or the great souls place the perfect seed of self-realization, of bhakti within the heart, the field of the heart must be fertile in order for that seed to take root and grow. And there will be many storms and impediments unless the roots grow deep. It could be seriously harmed. Cultivating gratitude, humility, and a genuine disposition of service is what tills the heart, makes it fertile and soft, wherein the seed of bhakti could take root and grow. When we chant the holy name, it is like pouring water on the seed of devotion. Even if the water is perfect and the seed is perfect, still, the soil must be proper. Therefore, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has taught us the disposition that we must cultivate while chanting the holy name. Trinadapi sunichena taror ibasi hishnuna amanina manadena kirtaniya sadahari. If you want to really taste the holy name, for that name to really penetrate through the senses and the mind and go right into our heart, we must be grateful, humble, tolerant and forgiving, eager to offer all respect to others without expecting ourselves. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said that this verse should be worn on the string of the holy name and constantly placed over our heart. Janmadyasya yataha. Everything emanates from the absolute truth. Whatever good qualities anyone has in this world is only a spark of the divine qualities of Bhagavan, of God. That beautiful verse from the Bhagavatam, yas yasti bhaktir bhagavati akinchana, that whatever, if you surrender to Krishna, simply by that act, the qualities of Krishna, the qualities of the devatas, the qualities of the greatest sages all become ours. Actually, they are not ours, they are Krishna's. When we surrender to Krishna, Krishna's qualities begin to shine through us. Krishna is supremely grateful. Whatever gratitude, whatever forgiveness, whatever humility anyone can possibly display in this world, it is only an infinitesimal little particle of Krishna's unlimited qualities. Ishvara sarva bhutanam hridayesh arjuna tishti. Krishna never forsakes us. Whoever we are, whatever we have done, he remains always seated in our heart, just waiting for us to turn to him. Krishna will not interfere with our free will. But however offensive, however violent, however cruel, even those who are the greatest enemies of God, publicly, privately, in every way, still, the Lord never leaves the heart. Ishvara sarva bhutanam hridayesh arjuna tishtati. As the Paramatma, Krishna is always within our heart, is our closest, nearest friend, never abandons us. Who in the world is so faithful? And how patient? Even after millions or maybe billions of births of radically rebelling against God, still, right there, beside us, lovingly waiting. And anything anyone ever does with some sincerity to please Krishna, Krishna will never forget. Even if that person does all kinds of horrible things afterward, you have to go through the karma for all those horrible things. You can't get away with anything. That's also Krishna's mercy. If we could get away with things, we would never become perfect. So the laws of karma are for purification. But despite that, Krishna still remembers even one little thing you've done. If you once chanted Krishna's name sincerely, if you once appreciated a devotee, even if it was 10 million births ago, Krishna remembers and is just waiting to give you the results as soon as we're just ready to accept it. That is Krishna's gratitude. So we can be very judgmental in the name of God. Well, we have to balance it by understanding God's nature. The laws of karma may appear to be judgmental, but the essence that supports everything else is his mercy, is his love. It's all meant simply to bring us back to his eternal loving service. That is Krishna. And when we really turn to Krishna, Krishna's there. Always. Here we find Gajendra. As was described yesterday, he was a king. He left everything for the purpose of self-realization. But he was cursed by a sage. Not only was he cursed, he was strongly criticized. He was called horrible names. And he didn't try to defend himself. He just accepted that somehow or other, even though I didn't do anything wrong, if he's accusing me of doing something wrong, I must have done something wrong in the past. And therefore I'm getting it now. Sometimes we do something right, we get accused for doing something wrong, and we think, I'm innocent. You may be literally innocent now, but you may have gotten away with something that you did wrong in the past. And you thought you got away with it. But now, it's coming back to you. Yes? Our tendency is we want to take credit for what we don't do. And we want to give blame to what we do. We want to give blame to someone else for what we do do. That is human nature. Prakrite kriyamanani gunai karmani sarvasya ahankara vimudhatma karataham iti manyate. That the bewildered soul thinks him or herself to be the doer of activities, but actually it's done by Krishna. Yesterday, Gaurvani Prabhu, our very dear and special guest, he was saying that the performance that he did at that beautiful auditorium the other night, he said it was one of the worst performances they've done from their side. What did you say? It was like 30% less than your normal performance? Something like that. But yet, entertainers, people who are connoisseurs of art and music, they simply loved it. They were praising it like anything. What does that mean? It's not about what we could do. If we're just serious, even if we somehow or other try our best and do it all wrong, Krishna could manifest through that and transform people's hearts. And it could have a better effect than when we do it 30% better than we've ever done it before. Because if things always were rational, that I did it right and therefore it had a good effect, then we would think I'm the doer. But Krishna is the doer. Krishna could manifest through us, and so we have seen. Sometimes the worst, most spaced out Bhagavatam class we ever give, people come up afterward and surrender to Krishna, saying, that changed my life. And meanwhile, we're telling, you know, the ministry, please don't release that tape, you know. It's not about us, it's about Krishna. Krishna simply, if he sees that we're sincere, he could manifest his mercy and touch people's heart through that effort of sincerity. So Indrajumna Maharaj, He understood. I may have been innocent, but somehow or other I deserve this. How and why, Krishna knows. And he graciously accepted the life of an elephant. Chitraketu, similarly, he was trying to praise Lord Shiva. But Lord Shiva's wife, Parvati, she interpreted it as a criticism. And she cursed him to become a demon. Now, Chitraketu had already been through so much in his life. He longed for a son. Finally, he had a son, and he was so happy, and his wife was so happy, and the whole kingdom was so happy. But some other people were envious, and they poisoned the child and killed it. And he was so devastated. But then, by the grace of Narada Muni, he was given self-realization. It took being at the very bottom point of suffering and misery for him to take the words of the great sages seriously. When he was longing for something he didn't have, he couldn't hear what they were saying. They gave him the same instructions, but he couldn't hear. And when he had it all and he was happy, he couldn't hear it. But when he lost everything that gave his heart fulfillment, when he was practically emotionally paralyzed, then he could hear. And he became self-realized. He became perfect. And then in that perfect state, he's ready to go back home, back to the spiritual world. He was right there, just on the verge of going back to Godhead. And he just happens to say something a little jokingly about Lord Shiva with all innocent motivation. And when he's about to go back to Vaikuntha, he gets cursed to become a demon. And how did he respond? Did he say, "Parvati, wake up. You're supposed to know all about these things. I was praising your husband. I like your husband. Don't you understand?" He didn't try to explain himself. No argument. He just bowed his head and said, "Actually, you know, I didn't mean to do anything, but certainly your curse upon me, I accept with gratitude. Now, with your permission, I will become a demon." Because of that attitude, even as a demon, he was a great devotee. He was preaching to Indra about pure devotional service. And he's one of the greatest sages of the Bhagavatam, even in that form. So Gajendra, in the body, the nature of material existence is when we identify with the body, the tendency is to forget everything else except our identity with that body. People ask, "Why don't I? If I had previous lives, why don't I remember them?" You could if you weren't so attached to this body. But we're so thoroughly immersed in thinking, "Janasya mohoya mahamma meti," that I am this body and all things in relationship to this body are mine. The ego clings so strongly to that, that all things of past lives are forgotten. They're there, within our mind, but they're forgotten. So Gajendra was so thoroughly convinced he was an elephant. There was no other identity. And he was so everything was just so right in his life. He was living in the most heavenly abode, the most wonderful family. Everyone respected him. He was the king, unparalleled. But the nature of this world, whether you're in the higher planets or the lower planets or this middle planet, wherever you are, something can always happen. Suddenly, while he was enjoying water sports in a crystal clear, lotus-filled lake, a crocodile bit him and wouldn't let go. He was on the verge of death. He had no power to defend himself. In that state, when all else failed, his own strength, his own intelligence, all of his friends and people around him, when nothing else could help, in the moment of greatest need, Krishna in his heart reminded him of the mantra he chanted in his past life. Krishna was just waiting. And he didn't chant it in a ritualistic way. He chanted from his heart of hearts. And within seconds, God manifest right before Gajendra and gave him the highest perfection of liberation. Now in this world, there's crocodiles everywhere. In fact, here in Bombay, you know, this crocodile was a big crocodile that attacked Gajendra with sharp teeth and really, really strong. But here, a mosquito. A single little mosquito could have the same effect in your life as the crocodile did to Gajendra. That's material nature. At least you could see a mosquito. You know, mosquitoes are, they really, they don't have teeth like crocodiles. You don't even know they're biting you. But yet it could have the same effect. Or some virus. You don't even see the virus. Someone across the room coughs. And everybody's just looking around, thinking, oh, so nice. But there's this little thing going through the air, going, and you're just breathing like any other day. And the virus just goes. Could have the same effect as the crocodile. Could put you on your back. Could kill you. Yes? People were so much afraid of the swine flu. In fact, devotees from Pune were not even allowed in our temple. And what? People so much afraid of something you can't even see. Just something that might be invisible in the air that just goes. So there are so many forms of crocodiles in this world that at any moment, whoever we are, no one is spared, ultimately from the crocodile of time. But when we're aware of things, we take it more serious. Speaking about crocodiles, some years ago, we had a yatra to Kishkindha Kshetra, also known as Hampi. How many of you were on that yatra? Please raise your hand. Seems like we're overdue to return there. But we came to Pampa Sarovar. And I was telling so many stories about Pampa Sarovar from Sri Ramayana. Beautiful place. It's the place that Hanuman first met Ramchandra and Lakshman. And there at Pampa Sarovar, Hanumanji put Ram and Lakshman on his shoulders and jumped up to Rishyamukha Mountain to meet with Sugriva. Very, very holy place. It's praised in the holy scriptures. So we arrived there, and it was still light out. But I wanted devotees to take bath there and have a full experience of what Pampa Sarovar is when they were bathing. So I started speaking the glories of Pampa Sarovar. I think I spoke an hour or two. And by the time I ended the katha, it was pitch dark. So I said, now we will go bathe. It was then that a local person approached us and said, you should not bathe in this place, because there are living, man-eating crocodiles living inside of it. Remember? So I announced that, you know, while you're bathing, be careful of the crocodiles. But the problem was, because it was pitch dark, no one could see if there's crocodiles. At least Gajendra was broad daylight. He saw the crocodile. But here, you know, the crocodile could be going, you know how they swim with their, like this. And you don't see. So we gave everyone choice. Yes, Vishakha Priya, do you remember? We gave choice. If you don't want to bathe, you don't have to. But the people say that there are crocodiles here, and people get eaten. So devotees went into that Pampa Sarovar, and, you know, I went in too. And it was probably the holiest bath as far as our consciousness. It wasn't just a refreshing holy dip. Devotees were really chanting. And so, you know, some people had little flashlights or torches, and they were going to search around. And I saw devotees when devotees were praying to Hanuman, praying to Lord Ramchandra. Some may have been praying to Gajendra, I don't know. But it was very intense, really taking shelter, because it was a reality. At any moment, we could be eaten by crocodiles. So when we are aware of the reality of material existence, we take shelter. That's the beginning of the story. We came out of Pampa Sarovar. People were really purified, not only by the holy waters, but by chanting the holy names in desperation. And then we went into Shabari's caves. Do you remember? So I told the story of Shabari, just Well, actually, no, I told it in the caves. I forgot. But everybody had heard of Shapri. Those caves are really big. You have to crawl. Because from the floor to the ceiling is about this high, yes? So you have to crawl. And you could sit, but you cannot stand. You can sit like this. But that's then. So we went, there was some hundreds of devotees with us. So we had to go really deep into the caves for that everybody to come. So we went deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper. We didn't know where we were because it was pitch dark. We couldn't see anything. And we were some way, way in the middle of this cave that goes deep into this mountain. It's this high. And it was really hot. And all the devotees were gathered in this cave. And we couldn't see anything. And then I remember somebody asked, "Is there snakes in this cave?" And I said, "Well, I didn't see any, but it's pitch dark, so..." So suddenly I heard people going, "Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna." And we were sitting there for a katha. Because, you know, Prabhupada said we should see through our ears. So we couldn't see anything, but we could hear. It was actually good acoustics in the cave. And I started telling the story of Shabari. And I became very enthusiastic because she lived in this cave. And as I was telling the story, these insects started biting everyone. Yes? But nobody could see what kind of insect it was. But they were everywhere. All over your body was like... Shaka, you remember? Govinda? So many insects biting. And somebody asked, "What kind of insect are these?" Nah, nobody knew. But it was really quite painful bites. And as we're getting bitten by some unknown creature, everyone, and at any moment some snake might strike, and it's pitch dark, and it's really hot. We're in this cave. I spoke the story. And even though I couldn't see anybody, I know 100% for sure that nobody fell asleep. Steady. Very rare when I give a class. But devotees were really, really intense. And when we came out of the cave, it was like we attained Vaikuntha. So these stories... they just practical illustrations of how when there is an intense situation, we really take shelter from our hearts. The story of Shabari herself is very similar to Gajendra. Gajendra was an elephant. But yet he attained self-realization because he took shelter of the Lord. When Ramchandra and Lakshman came to Pampa Sarovar, they were greeted by Shabari. She was a very, very old ascetic woman. As far as her caste, she was an outcast. But somehow she became the disciple of Mahatanga Rishi. And she lived there with her gurus, her guru and her seniors. Everyone was her senior. And she would serve them and practice yoga with them. And Mahatanga Rishi and all of his other disciples, they perfected yoga and jnana and achieved prema. And they all went back to the spiritual world. But she wasn't qualified. So Mahatanga Rishi said, you haven't achieved perfection of yoga or jnana, so you should just stay back here. And someday, Ramchandra's going to come. And because of your faith and because of your devotion, by his grace, he will deliver you. So she remained there all alone for years and years and years. Yasya Devi Parabhaktir, one who has faith in Guru and Krishna, all the imports of the knowledge of the Vedas is revealed from within the heart, the essence. So she patiently, with complete faith in the words of her guru, just waited. Now it takes a lot of faith. Decades passed, years and years passed. And he said that Ram is going to come. So she was just preparing every minute, every day, year after year after year. She was just preparing herself for Ram's arrival. Every day she would pick fruits and make a nice little seat for Ram. And Ram came. And she had matted hair, and her flesh was all shriveled from living such an austere life, living in a cave. She was just rejoicing. And Ramchandra told her, because you had such faith in your guru, and because you had such enthusiasm, your enthusiasm never died, to serve, and you had such patience. Rupa Goswami explains these are two key features of surrender, enthusiasm and patience. No matter how long it takes, on the basis of the faith we receive from the words of Guru and Krishna and the holy scriptures, we carry on with enthusiasm. Mukunda Dutt was told by Lord Chaitanya, I will never allow you to see me. And he was weeping, crying, begging, won't I ever be able to see you? Won't I ever be able to see you? And the Lord said, tell him I will see him after 10 million births. And Mukunda Dutt started to dance in ecstasy. I will see the Lord in 10 million births. How fortunate I am. Such patience. If it takes 10 million births, we should be willing to give our full enthusiasm every minute for the rest, for those 10 million births. It's a small price to see God. So Shabari, what was her qualification? She had that enthusiasm and patience based on faith in her guru. Yes, Ram will come. I will see him. And she served and served and served all alone. She had no qualification except that. And Ram came. And she was so unqualified from material perspective, but she was putting the fruits in her mouth and taking bites out of them and giving Ram the ones that tasted sweet. Now, how many of you have ever made an offering like that? You're not supposed to. If you do it, there will be reaction. But she was doing it just because she didn't know better. She just didn't know any better. She was just a very, very simple, uneducated person. But she had such sincere devotion. She just wanted to please Ram so bad, bhakti. And Ram was so pleased with her that he told her, today, join your guru, go back home, back to Godhead. I will send you. I've accepted your offering. I've accepted your love. She lit a fire. She had such faith. She jumped right in the fire. That's faith. I'll send you back to Godhead. Go in the fire. She had absolute faith. She went in the fire, and immediately she had a spiritual body. From the fire came a beautiful, youthful, golden complexion, resident of the spiritual world, ornamented in celestial jewels. And she offered obeisances to Ram and went back to Vaikuntha. So this beautiful story of Gajendra is a story of bhakti. Real bhakti is taking shelter sincerely, with faith and with gratitude. Gajendra, he tried to save himself from that crocodile by every possible means. But like all the rest of us, eventually we are in a predicament where nothing can help us. The jaws of death will conquer us. There's no difference. In that state, Gajendra did not ask in his prayers, the Lord, please save me. He just gave his heart, his life to the Lord. I am yours. It was in that type of an emergency situation that Draupadi threw up her arms as Dushasana was pulling her sari, and she cried out Krishna's name in that spirit, Krishna, I am yours. If one time we can do that with all sincerity, our life is perfect at that moment. We are practicing this chanting of the holy name in such a way so that we can someday chant with that sincerity. Krishna sees our sincerity. And all the rituals and all the pujas and all the sadhana and everything else we do is ultimately to cultivate that sincerity. Because when we approach Krishna with that sincerity, Krishna is there to give us everything. And even if we fall down, Krishna will deliver us in due course of time. Prabhupada compares Gajendra to Ajamil. Ajamil was a very sincere devotee when he was young. His father taught him to chant mantras, to worship Lord Narayan. But somehow or other, due to circumstances of this world, he became, what does Prabhupada say about Gajendra? I mean, Ajamil. Prabhupada's quite graphic. Shall we read? He said, Ajamil in his boyhood practiced chanting the name of Narayan under the direction of his father, but later in his youth he fell down and became a drunkard, a woman hunter, a rogue, and a thief.
Hare Krishna.
And he had to suffer for all that stuff. He really did have to suffer. He had to see the Yamadutas face to face. It took that much to get that rascal to turn to Krishna again. Yeah. He saw the Yamadutas face to face, and he cried out for his son, Narayan. But when he chanted the name of Narayan, Narayan was right there, waiting for him. Yes, finally you remembered me, even though indirectly, but now it will become direct. That is the Lord's love for his devotee. And he sent the Vishnu Dutas. And seeing the gratitude, the love, the kindness of the Supreme Lord, Ajamil then went to Haridwar and spent the rest of his life chanting the holy name with love. He attained perfection. So Prabhupada has told us, in this very life, if you are just sincere, you will go back to Godhead. If we just practice sincerely with that faith and cultivate the pure chanting of the holy names of the Lord, then it is guaranteed. Man manabhava madbhakto madhyajim nam namaskuru mame vaishashi shatyam te prati jani priyoshime. Krishna says, always think of me, become my devotee, worship me, offer your homage to me, and this way you will come to me without fail. This is my promise. And Krishna came as Lord Chaitanya to teach us. We can do all of those things. Worship Krishna, always remember Krishna, become Krishna's devotee. Everything combined is fulfilled if we sincerely chant the holy name. So with that faith in the word of God, Mahaprabhu has promised, Krishna has promised, our Gurudevs have promised. Just chant sincerely with this humble service attitude. Try to always remember Krishna by purifying our heart through his holy name. And understand that the crocodiles and the mosquitoes and the snakes and the atomic bombs and everything else, they could strike at any moment. Don't be afraid. Just be aware. I need Krishna's shelter now. Not tomorrow. It's not that some messenger of the mosquitoes will say, on September 22nd, you're going to get bit and get malaria. You may have been bit this morning on your way to class. You don't know. So many things happen at any moment. Earthquakes, tsunamis. Material nature is like that. It's not that we are supposed to be afraid. It's that we are supposed to be aware that all of these dangers are actually blessings. Because the body dies today, tomorrow, anyway. But if we can once take shelter of Krishna and take it and sincerely cry out his holy names, the soul is delivered. We can achieve our eternal spiritual form in Goloka if we can just take shelter of the holy names. The whole material existence is especially designed to give us the optimum scenario by which we could really, seriously, from our hearts, following in the footsteps of Gajendra, cry out Krishna's holy name. Louder, please. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, do two things, I'll take you back to Godhead. Don't criticize others, don't make aparads, and chant the holy names with great feeling. That's the Lord's love. Let us reciprocate and accept that love. Thank you. Thank you very much. We will end here. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Shri Radha Gopinath ki jai.